businesses had a blind spot in this area, and they didn't necessarily realize they had a blind spot. And 2025, I think, has been the year that folks have woken up and seen, well, we have a big blind spot here.
Search used to be far more navigational, where you would type in what you were looking for, you'd click a link, and you'd go to a website. Now, that whole journey is often happening with ChatGPT, Perplexity, Claude, whatever you're using.
If you're on the internet right now, whether you work in tech or you're just scrolling for a new recipe, you've probably felt the shift that Phil is describing. We used to Google things, click links, hop from site to site, and now most of that discovery happens right inside an AI platform. Brands are catching on to this and finding new ways to show up online, but there's still a piece of that shift most people haven't even noticed yet.
So if I asked ChatGPT or Perplexity to scan Wistia's website, summarize what the company was all about, you're saying it would basically be able to read all the text that's on the site and get maybe some titles of videos, but not actually read, for lack of a better word, read the videos on Wistia's website. So all that information is lost.
Exactly.
Yep. AI can't see your videos, which is a huge problem.
I think the state of many businesses might be described as sort of a blind panic at the moment, and there's a real concern about not knowing what to do.
Well, hopefully, we're going to calm some of that panic by getting loud with two people who've been working on this problem every day. Ben Rudlinger, employer number 3 here at Wistia, and Phil Nottingham, longtime collaborator and founder of Organic Video.
We think about it kind of as accessibility for robots. You know, we're making the video more accessible for robots.
Today, we're diving into the big blind spot with AI search. What happens when your videos disappear from the conversation, and the embed codes we built to fix it? Welcome. So excited to see you both. So we've got two special guests with us here today. Mr. Ben Rudlinger. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
I see you're beaming in from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and from Cambridge, England. Mr. Phil Nottingham, hello.
Hello.
So we're going to talk today about our brand new LLM-friendly embed codes. But, you know, this is talking too loud. So I have to ask you the question. What's got you excited? What's got you talking so loud today?
I am talking a lot about
anything you're passionate about, Phil. Yeah. And I know from your following you on Sora that you're very passionate about Sora.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy making silly videos of you specifically, Chris. yes, I think I am very passionate about AI video and where that's going. So I'm talking a lot about that at the moment. One instance of it, I mean, there's loads of ways we can talk about AI video, but one instance I'm finding it super useful is for like B-roll and the way in which I think it's now become a great tool. If you're trying to create like a video in a space where you need a very particular kind of B-roll that you can't get through stock, it's not easy to shoot, AI is the perfect solution.
Totally.
Things that previously you just would never have thought you could do because it'd be too complicated, AI's filling that gap, and I'm talking very loudly about this to anyone who will listen.
You are. And what's got you talking so loud, Ben?
Yeah, not to be redundant, but like just the enormous number of video models that seem to be coming out and just allowing you to do a huge host of things that we couldn't previously do, you know, getting more towards character consistency, being able to do different, you know, camera angles from the same shot, you know, like Coca-Cola's new 2025 Christmas ad.
Yeah, the new ad is, holiday is pretty ad. Good.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you look at it kind of compared to their one from last year. You know, gives you a flavor of how quickly things are changing. So the pace at which things are going, the tools are getting so much better so quickly. We're really seeing, you know, the beginnings of a real change in terms of content creation.
Yeah.
So exciting.
It is exciting. It's a big moment. There's a lot changing. There's a lot staying the same. People want to hear great stories. People want to make fun of each other with Sora. We made fun of each other before, but now
it's on a new level.
It's a different level. But I want to take a step back so that people who may not be following in the weeds as much understand. So, Phil, I would love if you could kind of just set the stage for us. It is November 2025. What is happening? How is AI changing search, and what does this mean for brands?
The way I am kind of thinking about it is that AI has enabled a way of searching that was previously a bit more intuitive that we kind of learned our way out of with search engines. So, for example, if you type in breakfast in Google, you'll probably get a list of places that are available near you that will be open for breakfast, and you can go and pick one and go and get yourself an egg sandwich. But that's kind of a slightly unusual way of thinking that we've kind of trained ourselves into to understand limitations of the search engine that was. What we really want to say and what we're really thinking is there somewhere nearby that's really good that I can go for breakfast that has caters for my particular dietary requirements and I'm going to want to go to? And you can now think that kind of stream of consciousness mentality, put that into the AI, and it's going to give you the results in a way that's far more intuitive and conversational in line with how we actually kind of communicate as human beings. And so I think that the AI is completely changing the way the new generation is using search engines, the way we're thinking about what search can provide, the way we're thinking about kind of how we interact with these models and what's offered, rather than kind of sticking to that, what now feels quite old-fashioned limitation of keyword, result, select result, go to a place. And so I think search used to be far more navigational, where you would type in what you were looking for or an overall general query, you'd scan the particular options, you'd click a link, and you'd go to a website. Now, that whole journey is often happening within the app or within the browser, and you're having an entire conversation with ChatGPT, Perplexity, Claude, whatever you're using. And that entire conversation is probably including interactions with different brands and businesses, but they have no way of tracking that. They have no knowledge of this. And the entire experience that you're having that includes touch points with different entities of various sorts is all happening within that individual AI, LLM sort of experience. And so I think that just changes the way we think about what search can do for us. And also as brands and businesses, like what that means in terms of how we are visible, how we're brought to the fore in front of our customers, and rethinking how we might be able to do that. And so there's also a sort of fluidity of modalities within AI and search, in that I might be asking about kind of breakfast, and then I'll quickly say, okay, well, can you, you know, get the different information from the businesses nearby that serve breakfast, graph that for me, and give me the options that are most aligned with my particular dietary requirements. And then you're entering a kind of creative process where you're asking the AI to build something for you that you previously could never really imagine. So you're able to just kind of move in and out of a context in a way that is extremely exciting and I think very intuitive, but a complete shift from the way we would have thought of search 5-10 years ago.
And because that the conversations are happening in a place, and I say conversations versus searches, but the conversations are happening in a place with like a lot more data, a lot more context, that is different, right? Before, the human was doing the work of going to all the websites and trying to parse through everything and understand. And now we're starting to ask the LLM to do that, right? That's what's happening.
Yeah, I think that is happening in many cases. I think we're still having to do work, but I think in a slightly different way. So where previously we would have kind of done the searching, the crawling, the discovery part of proceedings, now we're doing the work to ask the LLM to refine its approach and give us the particular things that we want. So we're sort of outsourcing that discovery process, and we're having to be a bit more particular and specific in what we're looking for. And I think that's sort of where the sort of context and the relational shift between the search engine and the user is at this point.
It's interesting to think about how differentiation works in this world, because like differentiation for each person will probably be different, right? Like the thing that you want, like it's very specific. And so if you want something that has like, you know, to keep it related to us, like if you wanted something with like the best video analytics because you really care about every view and you need it to plug into a bunch of other systems and whatever, like you're going to put all that in there and that's going to help you find it. And if we solve that problem, great. But if somebody else solves that problem better, that's going to be differentiated for the user in a way that's like the nuances will help create the differentiation, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, which is just very different than I feel like where we were before, because there was only so many messages you could put out to the world.
Yeah, and I think it's even more complex than that, in the sense of the messages that you put out into the world are not just the messages that you're saying from your own website, from your own channels. It's really what everybody else is saying about you.
Yeah.
And your brand is no longer what you say about yourself. It's what everybody else says about you.
Yeah.
And so your whole kind of approach to marketing, if you're trying to be in like a consideration set for a given query, so like the video analytics example, you need to make sure that everybody else is talking about the fact that Wistia has good video analytics, not just having an analytics product page and a, all that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a kind of mindset shift where our whole job is sort of engineering the conversation around the brand rather than just sort of creating a message and blasting it out there.
That's interesting. Okay, so let's go deeper in here. So, you know, we're how people are searching and the way they're conversing is changing. This is a huge shift. And so you obviously want to show up in that. Your product, your messaging, the conversation they're happening to show up. And this is where there's like a big surprise, I think, that everybody would assume, like, hey, if you have videos online, the LLMs can see them. But Ben, can you break down for us, we'll call it the invisibility factor of videos, like what is actually happening when you go into ChatGPT and you ask questions about a company that has a lot of videos?
Yeah. So great question. There's a whole realm of things that happen when you put that prompt in and hit the enter key. You know, just at a very high level, we're seeing that the LLMs, ChatGPT, are using search and leveraging search tools much more readily. And kind of how that works at a high level is just that it's doing kind of a more traditional search, getting a list of ranked results, like think of it as the 10 blue links that you would see on Google. And then it's going out to those pages in real time to get the information from those pages. So, you know, that is the point in which your content kind of really comes into play. So it is still important to get your content, you know, ranked. And now assuming you've kind of ran that whole gauntlet in terms of the search and, you know, the prompt and the LLM has decided to pull your page, what actually do they ingest? And so they take kind of the text on that page. They get kind of the base document that is your web page, and they look at it and kind of take all that text there. And you know, the issue is that videos aren't really rendered. So videos generally rely on technologies like JavaScript and iframes in order to actually show the video on the page. And so because the search tools for ChatGPT and the others don't execute JavaScript, they don't look at iframes, they just see your videos essentially as a blank box. And so they don't really, with, you know, kind of regular embeds, they don't get any additional information. And this is particularly problematic because a lot of people are, you know, a lot of marketers are making big investment into video. A lot of times video is kind of the crown jewel in terms of content. And when that video is not visible to the LLM, that means that all that richness that is contained within is missed.
It's a big deal.
So if I asked ChatGPT or Perplexity to scan Wistia's website, summarize what the company was all about, you're saying it would basically be able to read all the text that's on the site and get maybe some titles of videos, but not actually read, for lack of a better word, read the videos on Wistia's website. So all that information is lost.
Exactly. So without using, a embed code that's built specifically for LLMs, it isn't able to get any of that rich data. You know, if you have videos kind of throughout your website, all of that is context that is potentially lost, which is, you know, why we kind of looked at this problem and we're like, this is definitely a problem we're solving.
And what about, can you just talk about YouTube too? Because I think there's an assumption if you put on YouTube, it's going to somehow magically work.
Yeah. And so we talked about kind of videos embedded on your website. And it's really the same case, whether it's YouTube videos that you've embedded or any other service that you've embedded, base level video embeds can't be read. Often people think, well, if I put my video on YouTube, surely it'll get picked up and it'll be seen. But one of the interesting little things when you start to dig is that YouTube actually blocks ChatGPT and its search tool. So you can ask it to go, you know, hey, can you, you know, get me a summary of this video at this YouTube URL? And it will generally tell you, hey, I was blocked from, you know, getting any more information.
It's so frustrating.
And, yeah. And so it's not able to get additional information that way, which is, you know, means you really need to kind of be proactive in terms of getting your videos seen by the search tools that LLMs are using to kind of surface content.
Okay. So hopefully everyone is following, but what we're saying is videos on your website.
It's very technical.
It is technical, but you have to understand, because I think there was a basic assumption we had. It was like, oh, if you get it on YouTube, it's going to show up. And it is funny if you like search for information on a video on YouTube, ChatGPT will spit out answers, but its guess is based on if that video has been embedded or talked about in other places, what people have put. And if you say, no, I only want you to rely on the information from YouTube, then it says it's blocked. And so the reason this matters so much is we know that like there's a lot of content that people make that is very long form, going into a lot of depth and detail, right? Like if part of the flow on your site is people come to your website and then they watch webinars, they watch podcasts, they watch long demos to understand what it is you do. And now you're trusting an LLM to do that for your potential customer. Well, if it can't do that, you're missing out on this huge corpus of data and insight that someone's going to need when they are conversing and getting that nuanced conversation that Phil was talking about earlier. So I don't want to make this too self-promotional, but it's hard not to when we have...
No, I mean, like you guys, you saw a real problem that like brands who rely on video, because like you said, it's sort of the crown jewel of content. Yeah. Brands who rely on video are suddenly like, okay, if LLMs can't read this, are we in trouble?
Yeah.
So you saw that problem.
Exactly. We saw the problem.
We're going to solve it.
And then we've solved the problem. So no big deal. But you knew what you clicked on when you came
in. Vanilla iced it. You guys vanilla iced it.
Oh, God. Well, let's talk about our solution to this problem, the LLM-friendly embed. And Ben, you want to kick it off?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, we know that there's a lot of rich information, as we've talked about, inside the video. And, you know, one way that that is exposed is through the transcript. And, you know, we do include transcripts and other metadata for, you know, SEO purposes and things like that. But because of the technical details on how it's implemented, the LLMs are still generally not able to see that. And so what we wanted to do was create a version of an embed code that is readable, where that transcript is visible to the LLM search tools. And, you know, the easiest way to describe it is just that the transcript is included directly with the embed code and the code that you put directly on your web page. And then we do kind of a whole, you know, kind of add some secret sauce to make the user experience better, because it's not great to have a video and then have, you know, right next to it have a transcript. That's often not the kind of visual experience you want. So we've done work to kind of
especially with really long form video, because that's I think the thing that where a lot of the nuance and depth is, right? It's like really bottom of the funnel content where someone is watching something for 30 minutes. Because I don't know, when I first thought about this, I was like, well, you could put the transcript on the page. It's like, well, if it's a 2-minute long video, yes, you could put it on there and do it in not an obtrusive way. But if it's a 30-minute long video or more, you're talking about the entire page is just a transcript. And that is an ad. That's we still care about humans. Like, we want robots to be able to understand things, but we mostly care about humans. We don't want to make a bad human experience.
Exactly. And so that's a lot of the challenge with the LLM friendly embed codes, is balancing, you know, what the LLMs can see versus what the humans can see, and making sure that, you know, we make it as accessible as possible. We think about it kind of as accessibility for robots. You know, we're making the video more accessible for robots. We love accessibility at Wistia, and, you know, we want to make it, you know, kind of across the board for humans and robots. So
robots need to see too.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. And then balancing that with the human experience to try to make our goal and what we were able to achieve is that the human that's viewing that video or seeing that video on the page, the experience is exactly the same as a normal embed. They can't tell the difference, but the robots can can see the information that they need in order to utilize that content and to surface that content into search results.
And Ben, you talked before about the importance of SEO by itself, right? Like showing up so that when the crawler comes and says, this is a well-ranked page, and now I'm going to take information off of it, that's still important, right? So in this world, you want the LLM to be able to understand what's in the video, but you also need to make sure that you're still showing up. How does the LLM embed affect this? Does it affect it?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple of different factors to that. One is, you know, getting into the pre-training data, which is kind of a playing the long game. But search is also another one. You know, the search results are very important in traditional SEO. Getting ranked in that list, being part of, as Phil said, the consideration set, that's hugely important. And so, you know, you want to make sure that you're doing all of the right SEO things as well. And that's the great thing about, you know, not again, not to be too self-promotional, but the Wistia embeds, they do both the LLM aspect, the LLM-friendly embeds. Those same embeds also provide really great SEO capabilities in terms of schema.org markup and transcript availability and all those sort of things that are great for regular SEO too. So, you know, you want to be working both of those angles, because one is gets your page into the consideration set, one makes it visible once you're in that consideration set.
Sort of going back to the beginning a little bit. So if search behavior has changed for most people, do you think brands are realizing how fast they need to change to meet that change? Let me say change again. I didn't say it enough. No, but do you know what I mean? Like search is changing. People are going more to LLMs to search and find answers. Are businesses really focused on being visible in those places? That's what I want to know.
I mean, I don't think they are focused anywhere near enough. I think the state of many businesses might be described as sort of a blind panic at the moment. And there's a real concern about not knowing what to do to sort of, they know there's change and there's, you know, huge disruption, but not knowing how to respond to that, I think. So here is something very practical that you can do, which is go and use these LLM friendly embeds as a way of making sure that all of your video content is going to be visible on and within all of the different new platforms coming to the fore, beyond just putting it on YouTube, which won't do that for you, as Ben iterated. Even with Gemini right now, you know, it can't go and read new videos. And that may surprise people, because obviously Google, you know, it's Google's product, but that's just because of how complicated it is to actually render and pass JavaScript in a way that it took Google but a very long time to get to. And the LLMs just aren't there yet. And it may take another few years before they're able to kind of really read videos in a meaningful way. So this is a very good first step that you can put in place to ensure that you are getting ahead of the game and getting ahead of everybody else and making sure that you're visible, you're in that consideration set, and that your content is optimized for LLMs where other people's aren't.
Yeah, you know, kind of 2024, businesses had a blind spot in this area, and they didn't necessarily realize they had a blind spot. And 2025, I think, has been the year that folks have waken up and seen, well, we have a big blind spot here. Mm. And as Phil said, they're kind of scrambling. And I think 2026, my prediction is that's the year where we're going to start to see more and more businesses, you know, take, you know, action and try to, like, you know, kind of fix a lot of these things and ensure that they are as visible as possible. So, you know, I think it's a gradual progression like anything. And at the same time, the landscape is changing very quickly too, as Phil alluded to. So it's a moving target. But I think folks have woken up to that. I think they are starting to be more proactive about how to solve those problems.
There's definitely a kind of a bifurcation in the approach that I'm seeing from businesses when they try to respond to this. And it might be sort of deemed short-term, long-term, or sort of, you know, authentic versus spammy, many ways to sort of break it down. But some businesses are going, okay, I need to be number one in ChatGPT. And really sort of, what can I do to sort of manipulate that as easily as possible? Churn up a bunch of blog articles on low quality sites, do the old fashioned SEO stuff from 2010, start, you know, doing all those pretty scummy things that used to work quite well and now don't really work for Google, but do work to some extent for ChatGPT and Perplexity, et cetera. I don't think that's going to last very long, so I really wouldn't invest in that. But the smart thing that business is doing is really focusing on positioning and really understanding what their story is about themselves that they're telling to others and that they're getting others to tell to their wider community. So it's about kind of thinking about who your influencers are, who the most authoritative people are in a given world and a given industry, and making sure that they're the ones telling your story effectively. And that's obviously a lot harder and a lot more strategic and a lot more creative, but that's where the exciting marketing is happening today.
And I would say having, you know, having a niche and owning that niche, because often when LLMs are putting together answers, they're looking for kind of diversity of players that kind of tell a story. And, you know, there's this, you know, if you're talking about accounting tools, you know, maybe it's this accounting tool for small businesses, this accounting tool for, you know, restaurants, or, you know, these niches are areas which it can key in on and give very, you know, kind of firm recommendations. And if you kind of fall into one of those niches and you've, you know, own that niche and other people are talking about you in that niche, it makes it much easier for you to surface. And the great thing is that in many cases, it allows you to kind of punch above your weight and be able to show up more often in results, even for more generalized queries, because it's trying to like give these collection of niches that, you know, are really interesting and will help answer the person's question so that they can ask follow-ups and dig deeper.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about the difference between this moment and kind of what you were just talking about before, Phil, of like the 2010 moment when people realize like, hey, you can kind of game the system and get yourself to show up in Google, and this like difference in kind of keywords as default way to search versus like conversation. Because it does seem like one of the things that's happening now is, you know, if you wanted to be the top for some category, you would look at the category that gets the most searches. Then you would work like hell to like change your messaging and your positioning and get links back to you and get people talking about you for to show up in that specific category. Even if that category might not be a perfect fit for your customer, you're like, oh, it's like a 20% overlap. But if I show up number one, I'd love that traffic to come to my website. I'd love those people to discover what I am. That's like the old world. In the new world, you actually might end up with like a smaller number of people who are all looking for exactly what you have. And it, in a sense, like it's like a filter down to kind of what you're just talking about, Ben, which is if you're in a niche and it's like you have a really amazing product or service for this one niche, if all those people are going to actually find you, you'd be delighted. Like you'd get way more of like right down the barrel, like perfect customers. But to do that means that all of your information of what you do and all the nuance is actually out there. Obviously, that's why this LLM embed is important. But also this other point you're making, Phil, that I think is like really interesting of you kind of can't fake it. Like I think you actually have to have like a great product, a great service. You have to have people talking about you. You have to do well in the review sites, like in a way where before you could kind of show up in SEO and you could, I'm not going to say fake it completely, but you might index really well in for some keyword. And actually that's going to drive all your growth. In this world, it seems like you have to do all the things, but if you do all of them and you're focused enough, it might end up being like that everyone who filters to you is a much better customer. And ultimately you have a better business on the other side. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do completely. I think that's exactly right. And I think the challenge is, as you sort of alluded to, I think it's all about positioning. And if you have to be ironclad on what problem you're solving, particularly in B2B, if you get that sorted and you're able to converse about that in a way that is related to the way in which your potential customers are talking about their own problem, if you're marrying those two and you've got the answer and a good solution, that's how you're going to kind of really bridge the gap, I think. And things like review sites, being recommended by important influencers, you know, all those things are going to be incredibly important. And so it is storytelling ultimately. And I think that to that extent, marketing has kind of come full circle where, 15 years ago, it was about investing in lots of tactical trips and little things that you could do to just nudge things up here and there, worrying about performance marketing, spending lots of money on search optimization, but maybe not worrying about brand. We've come full circle, and now really the thing that's going to get you there is that investment in great brand and great sort of storytelling. And so I think there's a lot of shift underway, also combined with the fact that we just don't have the same kind of measurement that we used to, with changes in cookies and legal changes and the browser behavior that, you know, you just can't do full funnel measurement. And if you're building a business and trying to do that level of sort of specificity, money in, money out level of ROI, that is not how marketing works anymore. And you're going to find that you start just only investing in paid search. And Google fine with that. And yeah, Facebook fine with that. But mind away with you. And so I think that the great marketing is a lot more strategic. It's a lot more creative. And that's kind of where the great new businesses of tomorrow are getting towards. But like you say, you have to have that foundation of great product and service. And you can't fake it in a way that you used to be able to 15 years ago.
Okay. I love all of that. And I think it's very helpful for folks. I'd love to hear what's something actionable you think that a brand, a business, a marketer could do in the coming week that's going to help set them up to be better off with AI-based search than not?
I would say, you know, put yourself in the shoes of your customer and go to ChatGPT and have a conversation with ChatGPT pretending to be your potential customer and try to better understand, you know, what the recommendations are, what the strengths and the weaknesses it sees in you and your competitors. That often gives you a good idea of where you need to like kind of shore up some of your messaging and even some cases misconceptions that the LLMs may have about your product or offering. And it all will also show you where you shine and what you should be leaning into in order to, you know, really get the attention that you're investing to get. And it'll help you understand your competitors better as well, and how they're being positioned by LLMs. And it just gives you a much better lay of the land of your competitive space and how the AI systems see your space in general. It gives you a much better step forward in terms of figuring out what your positioning should be going forward.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that with a couple of tactical ones. I think everything Ben said was fantastic. I think you want to then go and discover which sources are influencing the LLMs about your brand. And so which websites, which social networks, where are they getting their information from about you? Because that's the stuff that you need to then influence. Great tool for this I like is called Brand Prism. I would highly recommend checking that out. It is made by Ben, so a little bit of promotion for Ben there, but it is fantastic. And then the next thing on a very tactical level, this is not something you can necessarily do in a week, but go and have a really good positioning product video. If you're B2B, like get that video that really explains what your offering is, that focuses on the the core problem that you're solving for, who it's for, and what your solution is. And if you're in the sort of B2C space, perhaps that's just like the single great brand ad that really sits at your kind of core of your position. We mentioned the Coca-Cola one earlier. I mean, that's, you know, their moment for this particular cycle. And they're, you know, go big on Christmas. But I think that there's certainly for every business, like you need that sort of core key video asset that's going to be there to sort of sell who you are and what you're about, because that's the thing that the LLMs are going to start to use and the way that people are going to start to talk about you. And you need those assets that are going to really be the keystones of those conversations.
And I think to your point, the work that you do kind of refining and honing your message to get to a really good video is your overall positioning to get it more crisp and more attuned to what LLMs are really looking for and trying to like get to the heart of.
That is 100% true. So many times I've sort of worked with B2B companies and they've had this like, you know, they want to make a positioning video and they'll start with like a 3-page document that they have from their kind of product marketing work. And the job of writing script is condense that into like 3 lines. And that is what the LLMs are doing as well. So it forces you to get really good at your positioning.
Great advice for both of you. I'm going to say, if you're a Wistia customer, start switching to LLM-friendly embeds. And if you're not, just check it out. Tell them that Talking Too Loud sent you. And I think that's it. I mean, one of the questions I just like to ask people in general, what is your most controversial take on what people need to do to show up better with AI search?
I'll take a spin at that. Looking into the future, we're going to have more cases where you're going to have robots talking to robots, where you're going to have I have my personal agent go out and find solutions to a very specific problem. And it's going out and talking to other agents, which may look like websites, may, you know, be able to answer questions for robots, to be able to assemble me a personal, you know, version of these are the products that I should be looking at. And so I think in the next probably 2 to 3 years, we may see optimization of your website specifically for robots talking to robots, such that they can bring back, even in a more abstracted way or a more personal way to you, recommendations on things that you may want.
I can suggest some things that are, you know, controversial and that they're a bit questionable ethically. But I don't know if we want to go down there, right? I mean, you can spin up a load of microsites and you can get the LLMs to read them, and then you can start to manipulate the perception of your brand fairly effectively. Let's not go down that road. One thing I think is maybe a bit controversial, but I think is where a lot of businesses need to start thinking is around sub brands. So the key thing with LLMs, and it's true with Google now, is this idea of entities. So it has like an understanding of what a thing is. And then it has this relational dynamic with vectors and points and all this sort of kind of web-like understanding of ideas, of businesses, of organizations, of stuff. And so you need like nomenclature for every particular sort of entity that you have within your business that you want the LLM to understand. So if you have like lots of different features, and there might be different kind of queries and different kind of conversations that are bringing out those features, then you need to give them a name that can be unique, that can be identifiable, that the LLMs can understand as an identity, as a vector, and start to connect the dots. And so if you think about like car brands in the sort of B2C world, they've had this for forever, right? Like, you know, you have your Mercedes C-Class and G-Class, and they're all like, they have their own identity as a kind of, one's a sports car, one's an SUV, or whatever that might be, you know, your Tesla Model X, Tesla Model Y. These are all kind of like sub-brands and model names, Air Jordan under Nike, all that kind of thing. Like, that's the sort of level I think that every business needs to start to take to their product offering. It's like, give your products their own kind of identity, their own sub-brand, their own space to sort of exist in the wider web world as something that has its own color scheme, its own name, its own audience, its own focus, because that's how you're going to be able to grow that pool and not just be stuck in viewed as like a single point solution, because the LLMs think in terms of this, like, you know, a jobs to be done mindset where there's a particular tool for a particular job. The way you, I think, branch out of that is by having lots of different tools that they all are really specific and are clear about the jobs that they're solving. So sub brands is my controversial tip.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, look, thank you both so much. Where can people connect with you to learn more or engage, ask you questions?
Harass you.
Yeah, I'm Phil Osavi on Sora, so please do go and make the videos. Yeah, LinkedIn's good. I'm on, you know, the socials. Come and find me, Phil Nottingham.
Yeah, and LinkedIn's probably the best way to find me as well. I'm the only Ben Rudlinger, so easy to find.
You've done it. Thank you both so much. This is great. That's all for this week's episode. If you want to see some behind-the-scenes moments, follow Talking Too Loud on Instagram and TikTok. If you're listening to this episode and decide you want to watch it because you're very curious about our video setups, find us on YouTube. And if you want to stay even more connected with us, subscribe to the Talking Too Loud newsletter on Wistia. See you, everybody.
Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia. Hosted by Chris Savage. Produced by me, Sylvie Lubau, along with Adam Day. Executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham of Edit Audio. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.